We are in this third Sunday of this time of Lent, almost getting closer to halfway on this journey, this very special spiritual time during the year. And I would like to, inspired by the beautiful readings of today, just comment two points, two aspects. We could say a lot, but I want to take especially two aspects, one from the first reading from Exodus and one from the Gospel. From the first reading, the beautiful passage of Moses that has this awesome experience of finding God and God presenting us, you know, that burning bush, speaking to Moses. You know, fire has been always, or can be, not always, but is a sign, you know, we can see as a sign of destruction or of many other things. But in the scriptures, just remember, the Holy Spirit coming down in tongues of fire. It means purification, and it means that presence, God's presence, that gives light. And he's talking to Moses. Moses, who at that time was away from Egypt. And if you know just a little of Moses, you know, he was brought up at the Egyptian, you know, court and close to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter. You know, he was at the palace probably. But he had to go away or to run away for his life when he saw that Pharaoh and all the Egyptians, they were mistreating the slaves, the Hebrew people, where Moses was from. When he realized that was his people who was suffering, you know, he killed an Egyptian guard who was, you know, beating a Hebrew, and then he had to run away for his life. And there, away from Egypt, he became a shepherd, got married, and probably thought that his life, well, okay, I will spend the rest of my life here. But God had other plans. And that encounter with the burning bush, the presence of God, was the deciding moment that Moses had to go back into Egypt to be God's voice in leading the people, the Hebrew people, out of slavery into the freedom, though that freedom would lead them into the desert. But the point that I want to stress is, when God presents himself, he says, I am the God of, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, your forefathers. And then he says, I heard the cry of my people. That's what I want to stress, so important it is. God says, I heard. And it's the same God that continues to hear us. In a way, we can have an image of God, all powerful, and the one who is giving out the commandments, or would say is telling us what we should do, what way we should follow, how we should live, so we would be close to him, but always coming from on high and talking to us. But here we see God saying, I heard the cry of my people enslaved in Egypt. Not only he heard something, but he's acting on it. He says, I heard, and I will provide for their freedom. think that's very important. Because I believe we do also cry out to God. We do pray. We do ask for God's grace. I do. I don't know about you, but if we have something, we do ask God. Of course, Jesus taught us also in the prayer, our Father, the Lord's Prayer, to ask, but in the end, our prayer should always conclude as, your will be done. It's not, because not everything that I ask will be granted me. Because sometimes we don't know what to ask or how to ask. And the Lord knows what's best for us. But the Lord God is listening to us. From the burning bush, he told Moses, take off your sandals. You know, this is all way of symbols that you can say, okay, take off your sandals. This is a holy ground, you know, the presence of God. He said, why take off the sandals? I see, in a way, telling us, in front of God, we cannot pretend. We have to be who we are. There's no way. God knows everything. There's no way of pretending to be something or somebody else. In the world, we can place, you know, our masks, our, you know, we might be really down, but we still are smiling, and people are asking, how are you? Oh, everything is fine. Yes, everything is fine, but inside things could not be. But with God, no. That's so important, the prayer moment, our inner, you know, that prayer, that communication, that moment with God is so important. That's the moment we should not pretend, because God knows. You know, I compare that take off your sandals with that passage in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit of the garden that they were not supposed to. And God comes and is looking for them, where are you? And they are hiding away. And God asks them, why are you hiding? And they tell, well, we realized that we were naked, so we are, you know, kind of ashamed, you know, ashamed of that. Being naked is not something of our body. It means, you know, we were in the front, of, you know, before God as we are. And since, and that's what, you know, sin will disconnect us from that God's grace. They were ashamed of that sin. So then we have to put something on. And God wants us to be in front of Him, us or who we are. Because God hears. He's listening. Are we talking to Him from our hearts? Second point that I want to share is the parable of the fig tree in the gospel. It says that was this farmer who had this probably beautiful, you know, healthy fig tree. Yet, that tree would not produce any fruit. And the owner comes and says, well, cut it down. It's a waste in the land. You know, we need the fruit. And then the one taking care say, well, let us work 1 year more. The roots maybe need some fertilizing in that soil. Let's work on that. And if another year is not enough and we produce nothing, then you can cut it down. And we can ask, did that fig tree did anything wrong? We couldn't say that it was doing anything wrong because it was a tree, but oh no, the birds could come there. There could be shadow in the desert. Any shadow that you can find is appreciated. Yet, the mission of that tree was to produce fruit. And it was not fulfilling its mission. Yet, one more year, another chance. No, that fig tree, of course, in Jesus' time could be compared as the people of Israel, who was not producing anything. Or could be compared with each one of us. We might be that beautiful tree, beautiful leaves, but lacking on producing fruits. What are the fruits that we are supposed to produce? I mean, the goodness, the kindness, everything that is inspired by God, that we are asked to share with our lives, with the people, with the family, the friends, the work, strangers, whoever we meet. We're invited to share good things, that we represent the goodness that is in our hearts. So Lent is that time for us to ask that question. Are we producing any fruit? In a beautiful time of hope, because God will probably do the same as, you know, that one was taking care of that fruit, said, well, let us not cut it down just now. Another chance, another year. This is our chance. And how can we nourish our roots to be strong, but not only beautiful, but also effective in producing good fruits of goodness? I believe that what we need is that moment of prayer, is that presence before the Lord as we are. Not with masks, not pretending, just recognizing the good things that God has done in us, but recognizing also our shortcomings. Because the Lord will give us another opportunity, another year. But let us not waste what we have now. This is God's time. It is God's grace that is available there. It is a time of conversion and repentance. And that's not only, sometimes we think outside, people, oh, they live in a life of sin, so they need to, you know, repent and come to the Lord. They need conversion. No, we all need on a daily basis. We all need that moment of turning back to the Lord. Again and again, the Lord will tell us, take off your sandals. Come to me, not pretending. Come to me as you are. And as we come to the Lord as we are, we realize His presence within us, the grace that we received in baptism. And then we can produce fruits, the goodness that He is expecting from each one of us.